This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Well, home cooking is taking a creative turn as folks take fewer trips to the grocery store. Listeners shared their favorite quarantine recipes.
So we're trying to use up the ingredients in the refrigerator. And I've discovered the trick for making a delicious quesadilla. So you butter the tortilla, put it down on your frying pan, put the cheese on top, put your leftover Chinese fried rice in there, or the leftover French fries. Whatever is in your fridge can go in that quesadilla. Everything but the yogurt and the chocolate pudding. Anything that you think tastes good as a savory option can go inside a quesadilla, I promise.
You know, I might just think about rolling up the quesadilla and dipping it in the yogurt and or the chocolate. So I'm sure I could use it all. And if you're looking for some more sophisticated options, we've got them for you as well. Marwan Irani is with me, executive chef of Chaipani Restaurant Group, which has a location in Asheville. Marwan, welcome back to the State of Things.
Thank you, Frank. Great to be here.
Well, let's talk about some of the creative ways to do it. I mean, eggs, milk, and bread have been in short supply these past few weeks, so French toast may be out for the moment. What are some breakfast alternatives these days for you?
Well, I think Indian breakfast may come in a moment here, Frank. We've got a long tradition of mostly doing savory breakfast in India, and many of them are pretty easy to make with stuff you have around the house. It's fun, it's interesting, and it just sort of mixes it up, especially if you're out of the usual eggs and bread and whatnot. One of my favorites right now is upma. It's almost sort of a South Indian porridge, if you will, and it's easy to make. It's basically semolina flour. You can buy it online if you don't want to go to the grocery store. Amazon will ship it to you in a couple of days. And the dish in 10 minutes is a hearty, protein-rich porridge that can be enhanced with mustard seeds, onions, garlic, diced potatoes, peanuts. So I'm really an advocate for savory breakfast, and I think this is a perfect time to start experimenting with some Indian breakfast.
Well, that sounds good. Yeah, so many of those grains really can be made into a porridge, as you suggest, and then you add whatever you want, cheese and shrimp,
exactly,
if you got it, you know.
Exactly. I mean, think of it as sort of, trying to make grits, but except you're making it with semolina flour. Mm. If you're gluten-free, another very popular South Indian breakfast is made with sabudana, which are basically small tapioca pearls, from the starch of the cassava root. And you can make it exactly the same way. These recipes are online, and they literally take minutes to make. And most people will have everything they need to do it around the house already.
Okay. So, and a lot of folks are working from home now, so they're looking for some healthy snacks or maybe some unhealthy snacks. What are some easy ways to make up some of those quick foods?
Frank, I like making snacks that are delicious either warm or cold, and making them in a large enough quantity easily to where you can have it for a few days. So I know everybody's probably has a pantry full of pasta right now, but I'm really having a good time making snacks with some of the Mediterranean, Middle Eastern pastas, more like orzo or couscous. So a simple couscous salad is as simple as just boiling the couscous and then adding in maybe some dried fruits, pine nuts, squeeze a lemon, olive oil. It's delicious warm, it's delicious cold, it can be stored for up to a week at a time, and you could probably use it to jazz up some other dishes. If you're not into couscous, you could use orzo pasta, but any type of small pasta usually makes for a great pasta salad that'll last a long time.
Are there any snacks in particular that lend themselves, we could talk about other dishes as well, but I'm thinking about snacks that really lend themselves to freezing, so you can kind of whip up a bunch and then put them in doses up in your freezer.
Sure. I mean, potatoes, tend to freeze well. You can make a big batch of sort of a stuffing, if you will. Casseroles tend to freeze well. And I'm not just talking about rice, you can make sort of spinach and feta cheese casserole, cut it up into blocks and freeze them, and then just defrost them in the oven. And fillings. I like making large amounts of fillings, for example, for a pie, either savory or sweet, portion it out, freeze it. So the next time you want to make a quick pie at home, all you have to do is just pull out a bag of filling you've already made and frozen and let it defrost and it's ready to go.
How about some recipes that the kids can help us make?
Frank, with kids, I have three rules. Easy, fun, and most importantly, a quick cleanup. And over the years...
Well, and stress-free. We don't want to add any more stress to the household, right?
To the household than necessary. Baking is a wonderful activity, kids. I know it sounds a bit cliched, but it doesn't have to be baking traditionally as in calorie-laden, sugary snacks and treats. Even a frittata can be baked. It's a one-bowl dish, eggs, cream cheese, frozen spinach, bell peppers, anything you want to pop in, seasonings can go in. And even if you wanted to bake traditionally, most people have everything they need around the house, flour, sugar, salt, and a little bit of seasoning. And don't forget flatbreads, Frank. I mean, I know you know Indian food, and parathas and rotis are really easy to make. I mean, a roti is an Indian flatbread that literally needs just all-purpose flour, a touch of water, a little bit of salt, and a little bit of oil. It's a fun activity, and you can have your kid help you make fresh flatbreads for a meal, especially if the grocery stores are going to be out of regular bread.
Yeah, it's a good activity, just kind of slapping that stuff, if you think about, you know, just kind of slapping those patties before you cook them up, however you're going to do it, in the frying pan or wherever you're going to put them. It's a good kinesthetic activity. We did get a call from cookbook author Sandra Gutierrez, who shared some of the options that she had for using her favorite non-perishable ingredient.
I really love canned and jarred tomatoes. I use them to make a very simple salsa that I make in a blender by combining a jar of canned tomatoes or strained tomatoes with a piece of onion, some garlic cloves, a little bit of parsley or cilantro, and I just blend it all together. Add a little bit of lemon juice or vinegar, salt and pepper. That is the quickest salsa that you can make. You can eat that raw, or you can heat it up in a little bit of oil in a pot until it's warm and bubbly and use it as a basic tomato sauce for enchiladas or to dip chips in. You can use tomato sauce or canned tomatoes to make soups, to make a wonderful dish called shakshuka or eggs in purgatory, where you put your sauce in a pan, break some eggs in it, and bake it in the oven until the eggs are set in the middle and you've got breakfast for dinner. You can top those eggs with shredded cheese or with crumbled goat cheese and maybe some pieces of basil, fresh basil from your garden. You can also make something very, very easy with tomato sauce, like just blending your tomato sauce with some chicken broth, cooking it until you have a thick soup, and then seasoning it with whatever spices you have in hand, from garlic powder to maybe dried basil to maybe some Aleppo pepper.
That was Sandra Gutierrez, author of The New Southern Latino Table. I'm here with Chef Merwan Irani, executive chef of the Chai Pani Restaurant Group, which has a location in Asheville. What are some other ingredients that hold their flavor well, either canned or dried, Merwan?
Well, I mean, at this point, probably everybody has the usual suspects in their pantry, beans and pastas and coconut milk and crushed tomatoes, which are absolutely a fantastic thing to have. I love crushed tomatoes. I use them. You know, in the kitchens, we use crushed tomatoes, canned tomatoes, way more than we ever use fresh tomatoes just because of the depth of flavor. But I like one thing that gets overlooked is what I call flavor bombs. And these are things that can really punch up a dish and take it to the next level. And most of these are canned, preserved, or tinned. So I'm talking preserved lemons, especially if you're having a hard time finding fresh citrus in the grocery store, chili sauce, adobo sauce. And there's a whole wide world of tinned seafood that is absolutely fantastic out there. You can buy it all online, and the quality is amazing. So from sardines, mussels, cockles, anchovies, you name it, and you can probably get it in a tin. And a little bit goes a long way to just add an incredible depth of flavor to, you know, puttanesca or just a simple pasta dish at home. Drizzle a little bit of the anchovy oil, add it to a dressing for a salad. You know, use the sardines in a pizza, or if you're making a little focaccia flatbread at home, all this kind of seafood really goes a long way. Add salt, add umami, add flavor. Get the good stuff. It's not necessarily cheap, but like I said, a little bit goes a long way. And the beautiful thing is this stuff will last for a long time. So even if you don't use it all during our coronavirus purgatory roll in, you'll appreciate having the stuff in your pantry as a go-to just to add a little extra flavor to all those dried beans and staples you have in the kitchen right now.
A little anchovy oil to that porridge you talked about earlier, or we've gone too
there
far?
There you go.
What about, how about some spice combinations maybe that folks may have not have thought about, but also would be like flavor bombs?
Absolutely. I mean, spice blends are just an easy way to do it. You know, North African spices are fantastic for a lot of that quick one blend crunch that doesn't have necessarily too much heat. So harissa, za'atar, berbere, all of this is available online. And you don't have to just think Indian spices when you think spices or sort of herbs. There's a lot of Middle Eastern spices, smoked paprika, that are just easy to add flavor. I mean, you know, shameless plug, you can buy this all online. And of course, you know, I have a spice company, spiceolabrand.com, where all of these blends are available and we ship in a couple of days to you.
What about, while I've got you, let me ask you about what you're expecting when this is all over in terms of the restaurant industry. Any sense at all of what this your industry is going to look like when this is over?
Yeah, Frank. I mean, it's hard right now, obviously, because we are a social gathering place. And obviously, that's not where you want to be in close contact with other people while we're going through this pandemic. But when this is all over, I believe people want to come back to places that comfort them and care for them. And restaurants are probably high up on my list of places that take care of people and comfort them, especially when it comes to food. So once we no longer have to worry about a social distancing issue as much as we are right now, I believe people will come back to restaurants and restaurants will be full again. We may look a little different. Our tables may be spaced a little further apart. But as you heard earlier on the show, right now food and the packaging that food is in isn't necessarily a high-risk transmission point. Most restaurants, not most, all restaurants are heavily regulated when it comes to pathogens and hygiene, you know, by our various health departments. And we understand how to make sure that food doesn't get contaminated and how to maintain high levels of hygiene. So even now, if you're getting takeout at a restaurant, chances are that there's a very low risk, you know, as long as you're maintaining proper social distancing between customers and the staff. And once the pandemic has passed, God willing and fingers crossed, I think people want to go back to places that comfort them and restaurants will be there for them.
Mirwan Irani is the executive chef of Chai Pani Restaurant Group. It's got a location in Asheville. Mirwan, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Frank.
We'd like to hear your favorite quarantine recipes so you can send them along still, or coronavirus stories as well. So call us or text us at 919-980-5419. Call in. We'll record those stories and get them on the air as soon as we can. Also, if you missed that, we'll have that phone number at our website, stateofthings.org. Next week, we want to know about the role of worship in your life right now. What steps has your spiritual community, if you have one, what steps has that community taken to hold on to a sense of togetherness? Again, call us or text at 919-980-5419 to talk about spirituality and worship in your life in these days. You can find out more about our show, of course, at our website, stateofthings.org. State of Things is produced by Anita Rao, Amanda Magnus, Grant Hollab-Mormon, Kaya Findlay, Stacia Brown, Jen Brookland, and Josie Torres. Jenny Lawson is our technical director. Al Wadarski helped engineer the show today. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacia.